John said for the most part.
Yeah.
You know,
he doesn't look bad. How's that?
Yeah. I look acceptable.
Okay.
Yeah.
Presentable.
Because John is my work husband.
It's true.
The matching rings, practically. So.
And the shoes. And
the shoes. Yeah.
Jesus. All right. Well, welcome Thursday Warriors to our 200th.
Who's the dom and who's the sub, though?
Oh, that's a good start to the show.
Thank you, Cupcake. Tim would have left at this moment anyway. So, I don't know. I think I'd be the Dom, but I'm just saying.
I think we'd take turns.
I think we would. I think we'd flip-flop, actually. Like, depends on the week.
Yeah.
So, or the night. So, when... Depends on how shitty of a day I've had. So anyway, welcome to our 200th episode, sort of. Like, we're pretty sure that this is close to the actual 200th legacy episode, because when I tried to do the numbering from when we came onto YouTube, it was a legacy numbering. But I don't think it was quite right. So we're calling this the 200th episode, which is pretty good.
So we're doing the Marvel Legacy version, huh? Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
We know how everybody loved that.
That's fair. Well, considering it took us like 8 years to do it, because we started this when it was just audio, I was still the manager at the Mills, and it was me, Ken, and Chip. We would meet at the Mills weekly. We would have a beer while we did it. It was a lot of fun then. It's still a lot of fun now. I thank everybody for tuning in and hanging out with us all the time. It's always been a lot of fun. You know, I really, really love you guys. So,
since I'm the newbie, I was going to say I've done platforms before. This is my longest running platform. So
yeah,
yay me. So
there you go. And just so you guys know, I'm going to start doing, because we haven't really done like NDC announcements in a while. So we have two. Firstly, this weekend and next weekend on the Saturdays, I'm going to be doing a $5 comic set sale on the Mills, either Instagram or Facebook. Haven't figured that out yet. It's going to be one of the two though. And we have a special guest joining us in a little bit. His name is Matt Horak. He is a phenomenal artist. He has worked on such titles that you may know as, I don't know, Punisher and Spider-Man Deadpool. he's also done some other stuff, including, I'm pretty sure he's done some work with Norse Mythology. Like the Neil Gaiman book that's out. So make sure you check that out. It is always good to have Matt hang out. he's a super chill dude. He's got some stories, which will be great. So, hold on. Tim texted me. He's like, I'm ready. I'm like, I already sent you this link. God damn it. I'm just going to send him the link and be like, already started. So. So anyway, that's why we haven't really, you know, I haven't really gone too far into it yet. We are excited.
Well, have this Matt is going to be what anniversary / 2020 year in review. We'll put it that way.
No, no, no. 2022 year in review.
Yeah.
Yeah. We reviewed 2020 a bunch of years ago.
Yes. So. Sorry. It is. I've been up since 5, so please. I
understand.
I didn't even get my nap in, so I'm.
Oh, look at you!
But
why? Like, I don't get it. I keep sending link to Tim, the link, and he's still not even in the waiting room. Mm-hmm. Well, there he is! Holy crap!
There we go.
He's connected. There he is. Oh, look how comfy he looks. He looks super, so comfy.
There, I'll match.
Oh, sweet.
So
my, it's like,
I mean, I can do it.
Check this out. This is like the perfect Ezio hood. It's like hangs down over your face and then curls. I want to get it lined with red.
Wow. We just all had a very anonymous looking moment there. Anyway,
we were like boys in the hoods.
Anyway, yeah, Matt's going to be hopping on in a little bit.
Okay.
I told him we're going to start early. So we were just about to get to the fact that we're going to do our 2022 year in review. Yeah. So we all kind of put, like, originally it was going to be like everybody was going to do a top 10. Then I'm like, no, that's a lot of fucking books. Like, that'll take like 3 hours to go through. So Tim made a pretty solid top 10 because most of, like, a lot of the picks I was going to put on there were already on there anyway. I added three more that I will add onto the list at the end. And then Justin had five that were not on the list. But that's pretty much it. And so do we want to just go through this list?
Yeah. You want me to read them off? You want me to start? Yeah. You want to do, okay.
So why don't you do one, you do two, and then I'll do one, Justin will do one, and then you do two, and so on and so forth. So it kind of breaks it up.
Yeah.
Okay. And we can kind of talk about it as we go.
Are you reading from my list?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Okay. So first, and this isn't in any specific order. This is just top 10. I don't have them ranked. Like, this is number one for sure. The first one I listed was Avengers/Avengers Forever. The Jason Aaron run has been fantastic. And I think we're almost a full year in on Avengers Forever and seeing how that ties in. And, you know, this is going to be his baby's coming to an end pretty soon. So that's been fantastic. So my second one on my list was Batman Beyond the White Knight, which we've talked about like 1,000 times on this show. So
yeah, it's so good.
Yeah,
that book was definitely on my list too.
Yeah, mine as well.
And I've always just enjoy the Sean Murphy stuff in general.
Yeah.
He just keeps cranking it out and I love every minute of it. So
yep. It's probably one of the best Elseworld stories that they should be like promoting way more than they
makes are. Me want it to be like the regular world story.
Right.
It's that good.
Yeah.
Well, maybe it will come to fruition. They've done that before, but
I mean, not that Chip Starsky's bad.
How about this? Bad. James Gunn does it. It could be a project since he's now officially a DC man. So there's the world of possibilities here.
Oh, yeah. Let us know what you guys think about this list as we're going through it, by the way.
Yep.
So,
all right. So you got next.
Justin, you're next.
Well, I will do one that neither of you guys had on the list here. I'll do Wolverine the Patch series.
Oh, that's a good one.
I liked it. The art was decent. I liked the story. It added to the mythos of him during that period that, you know, like it was one of those gray areas that nobody really knew exactly what Wolverine was doing in that era. So it's nice that they did this. They went back and they added a little bit more depth to it. You got to meet some new mutants during this. Definitely saw his involvement with S.H.I.E.L.D. a little bit more. So I enjoyed it. Anybody who's a big Wolverine fan, I recommend wholeheartedly. And I know, you know, there's been a lot of crappy Wolverine miniseries out there.
Yeah,
this is definitely one of the better ones.
X-Deaths was pretty bad. X-Lives, X-Deaths. But the Wolverine main series, it's like Patch and then the Wolverine main series. Those have both been pretty good.
Yeah. Well, the X-Lives wasn't bad, but the X-Deaths was definitely the bigger disappointment.
Yeah, for for sure.
But this was definitely one of the ones of, if they do more of this, I'm down for it. So,
yeah.
Go ahead, John.
My first one is She-Hulk, because they relaunched it this year, and it has felt the most She-Hulk it actually has been, I would say, since probably the early 2010s. No, I would say from the last time she felt really like She-Hulk was Charles Soule. But she wasn't stellar, like it still wasn't as stellar as the other stuff, mostly because I think it only went like 20 some issues. But man, this book is it's bringing it back. It's bringing it's got the feel, the vibe, the life, everything you want from She-Hulk is in this book, and that's what I love about it. So, continuing on.
Are you doing another one, or am I going?
No, you can go. I only have three, so I'll just chime in as you go. So these are just our best of 2022 instead of a top 10, because it's like a top 18.
Well, my next two is the Daniel Warren Johnson connection. Do a Powerbomb and Jurassic League. Jurassic League was just insanity, and it was so much fun. The idea of the Justice League being dinosaurs, and Do a Powerbomb is like, oh, cool, it's a wrestling book. And then you don't realize that, like, you're probably going to cry after several of these issues. Like, he does a really good job with those.
I would have, my only thing is, I don't think Do a Powerbomb was as good as Jurassic League. So I would have put Do a Powerbomb on all honorable mentions. But I do agree that Jurassic League was fucking sweet.
So. Yeah. All right.
Cool. So, Justin.
Next. I will get into a Hulk book, Hulk Grand Design.
Yep.
I think we can all agree, for not just local reasons, for our fair Jim Rugg there, but it was an excellent series overall. It was well represented, definitely in spirit of the Grand Design series. Yeah. That is really, really good. If you're an old schooler wanting a little bit of that old school, to the new people in this hobby that want to learn about what it was like reading in the old days, this gives that. It gives that nice retro feel to it. So definitely one of my favorites.
It's a good addition to the whole Grand Design line, and all those guys being local helps it just as that much.
Pittsburgh Grand Design.
Pittsburgh Grand Design.
Yep.
They need now we should get that.
Well, it's like, well, who else do we get to do one? We could have like Robert Hack do one, but what would it be, like Doctor Strange? Grand Design, because that'd be like right up his alley.
He could do a sick Doctor Strange. That would be fantastic.
That would be awesome. I mean, I don't even know what other one I would want as a Grand Design, to be honest. I think they hit the right ones. I just wish Scioli's would have been six issues instead of two, because man,
he was kind of crammed in there.
So much everything into
It reads better in the prestige format, because it's, you know, a lot bigger, so you're not like squinting, but
that way I don't like look, I don't have to squint and hurt my eyes. So my next one is Saga, because it came back, it kicked a lot of ass, and then it disappeared again. But it picked right up, like it was like you forgot that they were like on hiatus for like 2 or 3 years. It picked right up where it needed to be. It was all speed ahead, and then it wasn't. While it sucks that it's on hiatus again, what we did get was some great content to keep us going, and I thought it was some of the best writing and art we've gotten all year. So
yeah, and if it comes back with that type of quality again, even if it's just for 5 or 6 issues, I feel like it's worth it.
Yeah, agreed.
Yeah.
So, okay. Keep going.
next, Minor Threats. Now, we only have, this is a weird one because only three issues out of four have come out. But I read the first issue and instantly I was like, yep, this needs to be like an Amazon Prime cartoon in the same vein as like Invincible. This is amazing. It puts together some really good writing and some good mystery and action and just kind of silliness as well. So I would definitely check that one out if you haven't. And then Moon Knight. This is probably one of the most consistently good runs of Moon Knight that I've read in a long time. It's been, I can't think of a bad issue. I mean, there was a couple issues where there was an in-between story and they changed artist and it was so-so, but the story was still good. But yeah, it's really good.
I have to agree. I think this book was probably the best Moon Knight since the Bendis mini. Because I wasn't a big fan of the Bemis stuff or the Lemire stuff, but I really, this had a very throwback Moon Knight vibe to it, and I really enjoyed the hell out of it.
Yeah.
Even though I didn't review it a lot. Sorry, guys.
Well, I just started getting caught up.
Yeah.
Finally got up to where we're at now. So
it's all good. It's all good.
All right. Justin?
Yep. I thought you were going to do two. I did.
I did Minor Threats and Moon Knight.
Oh, okay.
And Minor Threats was, I probably would have put that on the honorable mentions only because, like, I'm having trouble sticking with it for me. Like, it's just,
yeah.
It's not grabbing me like I wanted it to, but it is a very good book.
All right. Then I'm going to go with one of the books that I reviewed earlier in the year, Grimm.
I love it.
This is the only book on my list that's an independent. But Boom Studios, of course, is up and coming. And I love, you know, certain stories hit me, and this is definitely one of them. The art is excellent, as pretty much almost every Boom Studio book is. But I love the story. I love the different look of a Grim Reaper is not just death, but there is death with a army of Reapers. So
the organization. Cool.
Yeah, I like that. Yeah. It was only the five issues so far. I hope they continue it and they didn't just kind of end it, but we'll see.
Yeah.
But
that was cool. On my list. I had like maybe 17 or 18 books. And then I was like, okay, what do we got to chip off here? What do we chip off? And I chipped that one off just because I'm kind of left wanting more, but that's a good thing. So,
yeah.
I like the art in it. I haven't actually read the book though. So
it's I think it's the same artist that does Once in Future.
Yeah.
If I'm not mistaken. So it's,
and I love that book.
Yeah. Yeah. And that ended. So I had to pick up another Boom Studios.
Good for them book. For knowing like when to wrap it up too.
You know,
and finishing strong.
Yes. Yes. Definitely that. The end of Once in Future was definitely worth it. So for those who haven't gotten that, just pick up the trade when that comes out. I'm sure it'll be, you know,
yep.
Awesome. Yep.
So my last book, and I have another one, but I gotta flip through my box here or my pile here real quick and make sure I say the name right. But the one I have written down, purely for the entertainment value only, Shirtless Bear Fighter 2, because it's just fucking stupid and fun and I love it. And like, you know, it's one of those books that you're gonna come out of it smiling no matter what, even if you don't really read comics. It is like a comic that you can pick up and be like, what the hell did I just read, and laugh about it. It's always fun. It's always fun. So
I have an idea for volume 3 for that.
Yeah.
Shirtless cocaine bear fighter.
Maybe, sure, maybe the villain pump. The villain, yeah, in book 3 will just be cocaine bear.
It'll
be,
yeah, great. I can't stop talking about it because I'm so excited for that movie. It's right. Going to be so stupid. It's going to be great. Right?
I know. Like, it's going to be worth it for the ridiculousness alone.
Like, good stupid.
So, right. I can't wait to just watch Gail Simone go to town. Like,
I'm about to talk about her.
Go ahead.
My
go
next ahead. One was Nightwing, Tom Taylor.
Yeah.
His whole run of Nightwing has been fantastic. I was so-so on the Rebirth Nightwing. And then he comes along and he's just like giving it his Tom Taylor flavor. Is that it? Yeah, Tom Taylor flavor. But he had been going back and forth with Gail Simone on Twitter about, you know, they were calling her the bear and she's like, I'm not cocaine bear. So he wrote her into an issue of Nightwing. I think it's issue 100. And there's a little flyer that says the cocaine bear, a G. Simone death blood show. And I was just like, that's awesome. And then the next one's Justin Mason's Spider-Punk. That was a lot of fun. That was cool to see that universe. There's not many of the Spider-Verse characters that have their own like book or miniseries. You know, there's a lot of cool ones that they've introduced. So
Matt's jumping it was cool. In here in a second, guys.
Okay. It was cool to jump into that world. So I enjoyed that.
Yeah, I enjoyed that book a lot. A lot.
Yeah, it's the last, it's the only Spider-Man I've read since original Superior Spider-Man,
yeah,
series. So yeah, it takes a lot for me to get in the Spider-Man.
Here he comes.
It is. So
what do you got next, Justin?
Well, since you took Spider-Punk, I'll do one of my honorable mentions in there. I'm gonna do Batman Beyond the Neo Year series. I'm a Batman Beyond fan anyway, but I love this series because this is Terry McGinnis after Bruce died.
Yeah.
And you never thought he was going to die, you know, but he finally does. And this is where it leaves off. And it's pretty sweet. I enjoyed it. I think they're going to try to do another series of this. So I'm looking forward to it. It's either the Batman White Knight or Batman Beyond. They haven't screwed up yet.
Yeah.
Those are the two Batman they have not messed with that completely ruined everything. Yeah. So, you know, consistently good story, good art, you know, I don't know how DC is putting these out, but then they're like, oh yeah, here's our 15 other Batman titles. They're all garbage.
Well, except for the Chip Zdarsky Batman's really good. So
yeah, but it in general is like, I'm
speaking generalities. It's all over the place.
Yeah. So
all right. Well, I want to welcome Matt into the show. Hi, Matt, even though your video is not on.
Can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Okay. So, I don't know why my video is not working.
Weird.
I don't know.
So we got about, I don't know, we have like 3 more books to talk about on our best of. We have a couple honorable mentions, a graphic novel, and then the biggest disappointments. So please feel free to jump in if you want, and then we'll do some interview and discussion with you. It'll be good.
Okay.
Want me to just blow through the rest of them?
Well, my last book that I never talked to anybody about because I finally caught up on it, but was very fucking awesome, was Neverender from Behemoth Comics. Holy crap, was that book good. Super crazy sci-fi. I love it. Make sure you guys check it out. Behemoth doesn't do a lot of books, but it's very, very good. And I want you all to check it out. And no, it's not a Coheed and Cambria tie-in, which is kind of boring.
But, I was going to ask about that.
But I was hoping it would be, but it wasn't. So, all right. Now you can finish them off, Tim.
All right. I'm going to go with The Variants by Gail Simone, which has been fantastic. I was a little hard on the first issue, but it was kind of got off to a slow start. But it's fantastic. And then this one is for sure. This is how good a book is. When a book can have two issues and be my book of the year. And that's Superman Space Age.
That's awesome.
It's two books, but I think it's 80 pages in each one. So it's like,
four.
Two books. Yeah. So that was my favorite one this year so far. Nice. We'll go with the triple C for honorable mentions.
Carnage. Did you mean to do that? Because
I did not. It worked out that way. Right. Carnage has no business being a good book because most Carnage books aren't. It's a really good book. Captain Marvel. And then one of my favorites was Catwoman Lonely City. That was really good. My best original graphic novel, I thought of a second one. I was like, oh man, I guess I can put this, because it's never been in graphic novel form until this, even though it was a remake of sorts. But it was Clementine and then Fantastic Four Full Circle. I thought both of those were solid.
Yeah, I was thinking about that, and I thought of Fantastic Four earlier tonight while we were doing this list. I was like, yeah, that probably needs to go on that list.
Yeah. And then biggest disappointments, Hulk, Venom. When the opposite writers, Cates and Ewing, were doing their books, Immortal Hulk and Venom, and where it was so good, and they both finished amazing, and then we're like, these guys are swapping. We're going to get more good stuff. We did not. Hulk sucked. Venom has, I don't even know what the hell's going on in Venom. And then all Star Wars books. Vader's been good, but F it. I'm throwing it in there with the rest of them. All Star Wars books have sucked this year. All of them.
That's... That,
well, it's because Disney's putting all their effort into the TV series. Screw the books. It's all the TV series.
Yeah. That wraps up my best and worst of 2022.
Yeah, we were talking about how the first chunk of when the books swapped, like the first like three issues of both were actually pretty good. And then they just like nosedived.
Yeah.
So, but. All right, well, Justin, do you have any more honorable mentions or worst of or graphic novels?
Well, I'll do three honorable mentions and the three disappointments. Ant-Man Volume 3, which I've talked about on here, surprisingly good. It's like one of those underlining, you didn't know where it was going. It hits you at the end and you're like, okay, I want more of this. So,
well, you're gonna kind of get it because they're doing Wasp next.
It's a
4-issue mini, and I'm excited to see how that goes.
Yeah, so it's there. Obviously, this is going to go for next year's movie, so they had to get some interest in. So, kudos to them for doing that. John, you're going to agree with me on this honorable mention is the Sword of Azrael. Just because we've been waiting for new Azrael content for how long, you know?
Yep.
And we finally got it, and it's pretty solid, actually. It's good storytelling. The art's pretty good. The one shot and the series, both actually, I'll put both of them together. So I can't wait till that series is finished. Hopefully, that's good enough. That'll get some continuation as well. but Lord knows with DC, Lord knows. And the third. that I'm going to call it right now, just because it came out today, Gargoyles. I'm going to give Gargoyles just because it's Gargoyles. And the first issue already is awesome. I read it. Can't wait to see where they're taking this. Although I find it really weird that Marvel's not doing this, considering Disney still owns the rights to Gargoyles.
Yeah.
That threw me a little bit.
Yeah, but that was a little weird. Yeah.
Well, same thing with Darkwing Duck is also Dynamite. And
Yeah.
Well, Dynamite must be paying Marvel or Disney some big moolah. That's all I got
to
say.
Well, I mean, IDW lost the rights to do that stuff, so it had to go somewhere. Honorable mention that also came out today, because I read it this morning and it was absolutely really good and I'm very excited to see where it goes, is Dark Web number one. Holy crap, was that book good. And you know, I love a good Ben Reilly story, so and it has Madeline Pryor in it, so I'll be even more excited.
My three disappointments, Hulk versus Thor, that whole thing.
They built that up.
It was supposed to be awesome. It was the biggest
banner of war. Was banner of disappointment.
Yeah, it's actually the single stain on the Donny Cates Thor run, because other than that, it has been perfect.
Yeah. I'm gonna go with House of Slaughter.
What
garbage? that's all I can say is they just did the spinoff for the sake of a spinoff. They should have just stayed with Something's Killing the Children. Without, maybe if they would have made this another year, like waited another year, this probably could have did some better. But I've tried three times to read it. I can't get through past issue one. It is such garbage. It's beautiful art, but the story is awful. Finally, this hurts me, is the X deaths of Wolverine. Again, this was like, they primed this, they had posters of it. The art's the only thing that like saved it from being complete garbage, but the story was so convoluted. I'm just like, ow, my head. Like, I was trying to, like, I saw where they were going with it, and I still got a migraine from trying to read it. Nice. Now, the X Lives, I enjoyed, but the X Deaths, I don't do well with Wolverine future crap in Cyborg Land, wherever the frick they're doing with it. I don't know. I don't want to know. Give me old man Logan. Let him die as an old man. I am cool with that part. I'm just not down with this weird ass shit they're trying to pull with it. Hopefully, like I said, thank God those were limited series. We're probably not going to get any more of that. So those were my disappointments.
Oh, I have one more graphic novel to add to the list. And I know we have a shit ton of them in the company, so if you need one, What's the Furthest Place From Here, Volume 1. That book was extremely solid. Art was great. Writing was great. And because one of the stores who will not be mentioned went nuts and ordered a shit ton and got a whole bunch of random little art cards to go with each one, you can definitely pick some up at all the stores, because I'm pretty sure when they split them, they sent some of the little art cards around too.
He did at the waterfront when we ordered too many of that. That book put me to sleep. I'm glad you enjoyed it. I read it and I'm just
like, I like the first arc. The second arc is a little hard for me right now. I'm trying to get through it.
I was gonna say, if I'm gonna go graphic it's all novel, the only thing I can say is read The Sandman.
There you go.
That's the only like true graphic novel that I reread. And like everything else has been floppies pretty much. So
All right. Awesome. Well, now we're gonna talk to our special guest and personal friend of ours, Matt Horak. Thanks again for coming out, or not really coming out, like hanging out. Because, you know, Zoom makes it so you don't have to actually go anywhere, which is kind of nice.
Well, I did go down to my studio, so I'm undistracted at home. Cool. Kids and whatnot at home.
Right. Yeah, it's crazy, man. Like, we have two beautiful kids, an amazingly great wife. Like, I've had the pleasure of meeting all of them, and they're awesome. And please tell them I said hello.
I will. They were, my daughter was just saying, are we going back to Pittsburgh again this year? I said, yeah, we're going. We'll be there.
Right? Which is cool, because you are the first person we are announcing for the con tonight on this. Awesome. Because it's all right. It's fine. Nope. We were going to do it anyway. So, and the whole, like, three people watching will be like, oh my God, that's cool. So,
there's four people, dude.
Four. Okay. Well, I'm one of them because I have to watch it, but,
well, I'm one of them also. Shit. There's only two.
Cutting our audience in half, guys.
It's okay. We get like 70 to 200 in post. It's okay.
Yeah. They watch it later. They watch it later.
Yeah. It's okay. Fine.
Well, it's too bad.
Are we getting the Spotify numbers for this, by the way?
I can get those.
What were you saying, Matt?
It's just too bad my camera's not working. I can't figure out why it won't work.
Matt, where are you at? I can't see your camera's black.
I know. I don't just know why.
Sitting in a really dark room.
Yeah. No, I even turned lights on and everything.
Oh.
Didn't matter.
How do we get Johns to do the same thing?
Hey,
sorry, I couldn't.
Yeah, but when mine does it just goes to a grumpy face picture I have of myself. There you go. You're gonna try to give me a Kit Kat through the thing, because that'd be awesome. I love Kit Kats.
Might not like this. This is awful.
Really?
Is gingerbread flavored Kit Kats.
Gross. Mm. Gross. Burn it.
Matt, I have a question for you.
Sure.
We were talking about it earlier. Have you seen the trailer for Cocaine Bear? And I what did. Are your thoughts on it?
I don't know how they're going to sustain an entire movie, but
yeah,
I'll check it out. I love the title.
Yeah.
I love that they're like based on a true story. Like, okay, come. I mean, how much of this story? Not very much, I'm sure.
I think they said
didn't the actual bear like just OD and die?
Yeah.
He ate it and he died, and that was it. That's the whole story.
Yeah, that was basically it. Like, they said it rampaged for like 5 minutes and then its heart exploded. So, so they're just like, oh yeah, it actually happened, but we're gonna make it like really gory, so should be fine.
Part of me wanted to see the bear like buy a bunch of shiny shirts and some gold chains
and, like, play some disco,
really, or really get into European house or something like that.
I have this thing in my head that this was planned, that somebody got on a plane with cocaine, threw it out the window, maybe over like Yellowstone, like, oh man, there's some bears down there. See if we can get them to eat this cocaine. And then we're going to make a movie about it. Because it's just that ridiculous.
Yeah.
Well, I just keep thinking, like, how 80s, fucked man. Up did you have to be to do cocaine in a park like that and just leave it sitting there and not give a shit? Like the wind would blow it away. Animals are out. Rangers are out. Like, how fucked up do you have? How much cocaine did you do to leave the cocaine sitting on the table or whatever the hell it is?
I think it was a trafficking accident. It ended up falling out of the plane into the park.
Yeah, that's what I got from it. Yeah.
Yeah.
And well, the bear's like, oh, that's what's
DB Cooper
part of the story? Yeah.
Yeah.
It's just
this was during the heyday.
this is the tail end of the DB Cooper story. Like he had cocaine with him, landed in the woods. The bear did cocaine and then killed him. And then his heart exploded. That's why we can't find him.
And then at the very end of the movie, Motley Crue finishes it off.
Oh, if the first time that bear does cocaine on that movie and they don't play Kickstart My Heart, I'm gonna be very sad.
I mean, they probably shouldn't have been smuggling the cocaine in picnic baskets. I'm sorry.
We're going to get a call from Hanna-Barbera about that, man.
You're here. Oh, no. We're getting shut down. Hanna-Barbera's calling. Aren't they by DC now?
Like, yeah, I was going to say, it's not that far off of what they were doing with some of the Hanna-Barbera properties there.
Man, when Comics Pro comes to Pittsburgh in February, DC's going to roll in with like some cease and desist for us.
That's why you're the boss, John. You get to handle all that stuff.
Oh, so that's Yogi Bear's Miami cousin, Yayo Bear.
Yes.
I mean, they need to come to me with this. I got material for days.
Oh, my God. Wasn't there a bear in an Ant-Man book where he was in Miami?
Yes. Like, yeah.
So, like, did that bear do cocaine? Because that makes sense to me.
No,
like,
he did not.
Miami Coke Bear? Like,
no.
Whoever wrote that, you missed it. I think it might have been Al Ewing, actually. So anyway, for those who don't know Matt from many years of coming to our show right now and many years in the business, you've done some awesome shit. Punisher, Spider-Man, Deadpool, Norse Mythology, Rick and Morty, Covenant. I think that's the big ones, right? That's most of it?
Yeah, that's most of it. In the last year or so, I did a bunch of Infinity Comics, the scrolling comics on the Unlimited app.
Oh, nice. Which ones did you do?
I did a part of X-Men Unlimited, which was the Deadpool Juggernaut story.
Oh, nice. That was awesome.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, it was fun. And then I did some Spider-Bot strips.
And, nice. I was reading that one too. Jordan Bloom wrote those. Yeah, that was really fun.
Yeah, it was fun. It was a good time. And then I did the recent Who Is Namor, like a primer kind of retelling of his origin, which was also a Infinity comic. And I also did some stuff for Marvel Scholastic recently. So the new Miles Morales Stranger Tides graphic novel that came out. I did the majority of the layouts for that. And then I did a handful of pages in the Captain America Ghost Army OGN finishes in that one.
Nice.
So I've done a bunch of weird stuff. Haven't actually been on the comic shelves in the past year, but I've been doing a bunch of stuff.
Yeah, but these Infinity comics are fantastic. Like, there's a lot of really good ones, and I love the challenge. It's like as you're reading it, it's like, oh man, it's so cool how they, you know, just made that keep going. I think like the Shang-Chi one was really good. There was a lot of like cool like smoke effects that just went down the page and into the next panel. So, you know, I'm a big, yes, people should buy print, but these Infinity comics really make it worth getting the app to read these two. And some of them, I mean, they've done the X-Men ones and printed them.
Yeah. So, I asked when I first got the job if it'll ever be in print, and the editor said, well, we pretty much print everything we do, so yes. Nice. May take a while, but if they can squeeze a couple more dollars out of it, they will.
Yeah.
Right. I think they usually just put them into, they just put them into graphic novel form though, I think.
Yeah. I would love to see it in print. I did ask if when they go to do that process, if I can have some say in how they rearrange it. So they said they would, but we'll see. Nice. I also did a retailer variant for Gargoyles #1, actually.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm. For Adams Action Figures and Comics in Edinburgh, Ohio.
Nice.
Yeah, it was fun. Did a couple signings with him over the last day, a couple days. I wonder if I have it here. Yeah, hold on. Oh, my camera doesn't work. I can't even share my screen or anything. So
I'm seeing if I could find it.
Yeah, if you find Adam's action figures and comics, if you Google search them, or if they're on Facebook, I think is maybe the best place to reach them. And I think he posted some of it there. It's something that I keep me like, oh yeah, I got to post about that. I keep forgetting. It's been a busy week. It's been a busy week for me. I did GalaxyCon Columbus this past weekend.
How was that?
And it was fun. It was nice. It wasn't super, super busy, but good crowds, good guest list. They treated us nice. It's nice and close. It's only 2 hours away from me, so.
Yeah, I know a lot of my friends that went out there last weekend. So, yeah, and then, like, this week, that makes even more sense as to why cosplay karaoke didn't work out. We did cosplay karaoke yesterday for the first time in a long time. We did not have a full singing card. And it's always in December. And I'm like, well, maybe it's because Steel City's coming up and like next weekend and everybody's just prepping for that. And I didn't even think about the fact that GalaxyCon was last weekend. So everybody's just exhausted. We had some really killer guys come out for it. It was always good. So one book that you worked on at least a little bit that I don't think gets a lot of credit was that Iron Man 2099 Forceworks one, right? Didn't you do like a short in there or most of it or something?
Yeah, I did it was 2020, wasn't it?
Iron Age
2020.
Iron Age. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. At least that's what the collection was called or something along those lines. Yeah, I did a short story starring what's his name? Dr. Something that was in a cat for a while in the Iron Man books. Mm-hmm. I can't remember the character, but he had been turned back into a normal cat, and it's just a short story about that cat getting thrown out of the building and then coming back. And this cat just has this adventure in Seattle. It was really fun to do. I got to get a little, play around with it a little bit, and written by Christopher Cantwell. It was a fun little story. I'd love to do more stuff like that.
That's awesome.
Yeah. there's something else I was going to mention too. I don't know. I can't remember.
Do you have anything that you can that you can talk about that's coming up that you're working on that we should be keeping our eye out for?
Not particularly. Nothing I can really say for certain at this moment.
For legal reasons, he can.
Yes, for reasons. So, but I got a bunch of stuff in various states of maybe, and you know what I mean. So it's hard to say right now, but
right.
Thankfully, it just kind of worked out where I've finished some projects and I have some next stuff's not really starting, but I did a bunch of commissions and stuff with the con and with Adam signing and stuff. And so I think I'm going to be able to kind of take it easy until the new year and actually enjoy the holidays for once, which will be cool.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Lord knows I need the free time with a 1-year-old at home.
John, I can't get the I can't find the picture.
Well, here, let me ask you this. Is there trying to find it myself, so character or book that you would be interested in future dates?
I would love to do some Star Wars stuff. I've always loved Star Wars. I grew up on X-Men, so I'd love to do a real like X-Men run or even just Logan Wolverine. He was my favorite as a kid, so didn't really get a chance to do that. I at least at Marvel on Spider-Man Deadpool, we did such crazy, like, out of continuity mashup LMDs madness that I got to draw like so many characters on that book, and at least for a page or two, got to squeeze so many characters in that it scratched a lot of the itches for Marvel stuff. If anything, it's more about like writers I'd like to work with. There's so many writers I like that I've never gotten a chance to work with, and especially writers I'm friends with, like Donnie and Matt Rosenberg and Ed Brisson, guys that we kind of came up at the same time. And just for whatever reason, we haven't ever been matched up on anything.
When someday. You got to work with, was it Kelly Thompson?
Robbie Thompson on Spider-Man.
Robbie Thompson. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was super fun. He was really great to work with. Super open to my ideas and stuff. Would always ask what characters I wanted to draw. And even in like Spider-Man Deadpool 50, the last issue where I did all the fake tie-in covers to our fake event that was happening. And drew them and tried to draw them in each artist style of whoever was theoretically drawing that book that I made up. And a bunch of those I pitched. I was like, we should do this. And we just knew that there were going to be a bunch of these fake covers. And he's like, what do you think? What do you want to do? And he had a couple ideas and I threw out a couple and we ended up using a bunch of the ones that I came up with, which like any good writer, Robbie is smart enough to know that when the artist says, hey, I want to draw this, you go ahead. It's going to make for good comics usually.
Oh, here, I found the Adams cover for you.
You sweet son of a bitch. I just told you.
Yeah, there it is.
Yeah.
So there's a virgin one and then a black and white virgin one, which I think the black and white one turned out really nice because I did the gray tones. It's not just a lot of those gray or black and white covers, they'll just... you know, gray tone out the full color image and it just turns kind of muddy.
Yeah.
But mine was actually done with gray tones first and then the color over top of that. So I think the gray tone one turned out really nice, especially for getting remarks and stuff like that on it.
Yeah, this is awesome.
Thank you.
I'm really excited about this series. So I bought like 3 covers for it.
Yeah, there's only like 600 covers. You could probably get them all.
Yeah. I had to get the Joe Mad one.
Yeah. There's 2 versions of the Joe Mad one, even. It's just crazy.
One's black and white?
No, one's got like some like, you know, like some kind of like decorative border kind of thing and says like commemorative edition or something like that. And then the other one looks more like just the straight cover.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. What's in the book, there's a couple pages at the back that have like every single cover, including all the retailer variants and stuff. So it's pretty mind blowing. Some cool company. Some other people did some good ones. So I feel good about it. And Gargoyles, I was kind of slightly surprised at how excited people are for it because I was a little old for Gargoyles. So I didn't watch it at the time. And we also didn't have cable when it was on Disney Channel back then in the beginning, right?
No, I'm pretty sure it was on Fox.
It was like syndicated. Yeah. Well, either way, I didn't watch it at the time. I always thought it was cool and loved the character designs and the look of the show and everything, but I didn't really watch it. And I knew people liked it, but every time someone sees it, they get super excited. It's good to hear the book is good. I didn't actually read it yet. I was waiting to try and chime in on your discussion earlier, but I don't know the last time I read a comic, unfortunately.
well, here's the black and white version of that. And man, does that look killer.
Yeah. I mean, these are obviously low-res images, so it looks better than that even, of course. So.
Yeah. Well, that's what happens when you pull them off Facebook.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. See, that's why I got to get on it. I need to put it on my Instagram or something so at least looks a little bit better.
Yeah, I imagine that looks tight as hell when it's put together. So,
yeah, looks all right.
We wouldn't know in mills because we only got 5 whole copies. So it's like,
oh,
wow.
Yeah, that's all you ordered? That's all that the manager ordered. And it was funny because I was like, dude, why did you only order like so little copies of this book? He's like, I didn't know what it was. I'm like, are you serious? And then I was like, oh, wait, you're like, 7 years younger than me. Now I understand why he doesn't know what to
say. But he missed it on the other side.
By the time he would have been watching it, it probably would have been just on the Disney Channel.
Oh, right.
Because it reran on the Disney Channel.
Mm.
But man, that book or that show was so good. So good.
Yeah.
It was one of those ahead of its time.
Wasn't Jonathan Frakes like the bad guy, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That just came up this weekend. I'm learning more and more about Gargoyles now.
Yeah, it's pretty much like everybody from the Star Trek Next Generation voiced a character in Gargoyles. Yeah. So
awesome. One of the sketches I did for the cover to potentially be the cover was an homage to Gargoyle number one from Marvel, the Wrightson cover.
Nice.
Yeah.
With the gargoyle jumping off the roof. Yeah, so I had Goliath as Gargoyle, and then the other like actual gargoyles that are on the roof were some of the other characters, like Hudson and Brooklyn. I can't remember the other ones. Yeah. Roosevelt, maybe, or something like that.
Yeah, they're all like New York names.
Yeah. Yeah. But they liked that one, but they said that Goliath didn't look, he looked off model, and can I change his pose to be more heroic? And I was like, if I change his pose, then it's not an homage anymore. It's just a ripoff. So let's do a different one.
Oh, bummer. I would still like to see that at some point, though.
I know. Unfortunately, it's not an idea I could just reuse for any real good reason, unless I do another Gargoyles cover and they just let me do what I want.
They might let you do it for issue two. Who knows?
There you go.
Yeah.
It's funny. Like you said, that's a Disney property.
Yeah.
But, you know, they had to clear my sketches through Disney via Dynamite.
Yeah, that's weird that they would have
And they had to approve me as an artist in the first place, even though most of my paychecks for the past 6 years have been from Disney. So, whatever.
The right hand doesn't know what the left hand's doing. That's what it is.
Yeah, that's a little crazy. I did like, there was a cool cover that was just Demona that I thought was really nice.
I forget the artist's name.
If you ever want to do just a Demona cover, go for it.
I didn't get Demona on mine, but doing remarks, that's probably, it's Goliath and then Demona is the second most requested.
Yeah,
for sure.
Well, they were the only two that had actual names in the original story. So
yeah, that's true. All the rest are just New York names.
Yeah. Which has to be weird. Like,
keep talking. I'll
be back. Like, okay. like when people are like,
hear you.
Like,
oh, we were gonna shit talk you, man. Come on, man.
Just remember to mute it before you flush. That's all. yeah, there's some really cool ones.
Pills are good.
That's cool. I was unaware that you did that cover. I may have to get a hold of one of those. Or you need to bring some to Three Rivers if you get a stack of them.
So. I will be bringing some to Three Rivers for sure.
Cool. I will get one there then for sure. So because by then the price will go back down.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see. Maybe it'll go up.
Oh crap!
People will find the subliminal messages I hid in the buildings, and then everyone will get all excited.
No, did you do it classic Disney style and draw like dildos and shit in the background?
I mean, every single one of them.
Little Mermaid VHS cover.
Check out the OnlyFans for Gargoyles done by Matt.
Oh, I'm sure. I'm sure there's some Gargoyles material out there for sure.
It's deviant art, man. Deviant art.
Yeah. To be clear, I did not hide anything on that cover, just so I don't get in trouble.
Hey, they approved it. That's all that matters.
That's right.
So
that's right. Well, it wouldn't be the first time something got approved and then people noticed later that something was hinky.
Disney, Archie, same company, you know.
Are you talking about the movies or the comics?
Archie's notorious for doing that shit in there. Like they're like, oh man, do I have one hanging here? I think I have the pearl necklace cover somewhere. I don't think I have it right here, but there's like the pearl necklace cover. There's the beat off two guys. There's the moose cross dressing one. there's a lot, and they're real crazy. But I remember Mike from Archie telling me one time, like, a book went all the way up to the president of Archie's desk. He flipped through it, and then he came out of his office and he yelled at everybody because he's like, "What the fuck, guys?" And there's a scene where Veronica's like dumping her purse, and this phallic and flesh color or like pink phallic looking item falls out of the purse with everything, and he's like, "Come on!" And they're all like, "You proved it." So,
no, I've never, I've obviously never maliciously hidden anything in any of the comics I've done, but there's certainly Easter eggs all over my stuff.
That's fair.
Especially coming up from the 80s where, you know, Art Adams would do the Warlock and just have him turn into every, you know, copyrighted character he could, because no one cared back then.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. You did get to, and I know we've talked about this before, but with Major X, your issue actually came out before the Major X issue, correct?
Yeah.
And so there was a whole to do with McFarlane or with Liefeld, right?
Yeah.
It's just dumb, but yeah.
It was that same. It was that same arc with our fake crossover with our fake big bad guy who was killing a bunch of Marvel characters, and so I could use whoever I wanted because we were not exactly in continuity, and so I threw Major X in there because I had seen the ads for him and stuff, and was trying to use some newer characters instead of just all the old ones that I know. Not even thinking when it would be on the shelves. I just knew when it needed to be done, not when it was coming out. So, and then it happened to come out the week before Major X number one, and Rob got mad. I said, "Sorry, man, I didn't do it on purpose, but
sorry, I can hit a deadline."
I was probably late, actually, but whatever. I got it done enough on time.
Not as late as his was.
Yeah, so then I also start getting messages from retailers being like, "Hey, is this Major X's first appearance?" And I'm like, I don't know. I guess if everyone decides that it is, it's not really my choice, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I certainly didn't do it consciously.
I just think it's funny that two guys from our area, because you're from, Eastern Ohio, so you're our area. And you and Ron Friends both get caught up in some dumb first appearance drama in a Spider-Man book.
What was Ron Friends's?
Black Suit Spider-Man. Amazing Spider-Man 252 came out a week before Secret Wars 8, but it was supposed to be the week after.
Mm.
But Secret Wars got postponed. It got delayed a little bit.
Right.
So,
I didn't realize that.
Yeah, so if you're going by actual date it hit the shelf, it's right. Amazing Spider-Man. If you're going by creatively, because the guys who created are the actual thing, it's Secret Wars.
Yeah.
So Ron doesn't care. He's like, whatever.
Right.
He's just glad to have had the work. So
Right. I'm about the same. And I think what's kind of cool about it is it isn't my decision. It's not Rob's decision. It's the market. It's, you know, they'll decide, the market will decide which issue is the more preferred. And the Secret Wars one clearly is at this point. That's the more valuable comic, right? Probably.
Yeah. Not by much though.
Not by much.
Yeah, they're pretty close. Yeah.
All right. Yeah. Well, that's good news for me then.
But I mean, you can even look at the Hulk 180, 181
right.
thing, or which one of the four different Hellboy first appearances are right. actually Hellboy's first appearance, right?
So not only does the market decide it, it also makes it so if you are a Major X fan, now there's two books you can get for your collection. You know, it's just more stuff to search out and find. I mean, and it's kind of fun. It made a bunch of new, and you know, it's Rob gave me my first job too. The Covenant was a Rob Liefeld written Old Testament sword and sorcery book. So it's odd that it came back full circle to, you know, even when I took that job and worked on it, I thought, you know, Rob's got a little bit of a reputation, and there's a decent chance working on this book will backfire or will come back to bite me or it'll end badly. But I did it anyway because I wanted to, and I love Rob's work and was excited to work with him and stuff. And so, he fired the colorist, and I got off easy during our run on that book.
Nice.
But then it comes back full circle, and, you know, hopefully I'll get a chance to talk to him someday and you know, hash it out. Hopefully he'll be over it. Hopefully he doesn't really suspect it was malicious in any way. Mm-hmm. I don't know if he suspects that Marvel told me to do it so they could double dip on a first appearance, which I don't know why you would do it that way, but, and I don't know why you would think Marvel is,
you know, I was just thinking this, but part of me is like, and I don't think they would intentionally have done it, but part of me is like, you know, maybe there's some dude in their marketing department that just goes, you know what? Let's release this one first. Mm-hmm. Then it'll draw attention to it. Mm-hmm. And then everybody will just buy both books because they're going to want to fight about it. And we're just going to sell a lot more copies.
Right.
Yep.
The only way that's actually real is if they did see it and said, let's just leave it. Which I can't imagine they did. There's that double page spread with Major X on it probably has 20 characters on it, maybe.
Right.
And Major X is like a quarter of an inch big. He's tiny. Right. So I can totally see someone not noticing it. And then also you would have to be cognizant that of the release dates of a book that's maybe not in your, that's not, the editor's not even privy to, you know, he's not seeing the dates. The editor on Spider-Man Deadpool is not necessarily the same editor as Major X and doesn't really know when that's coming out necessarily. Right. I mean, I can see it from Rob's perspective on a certain side, but also the only one who would be upset about it would be Rob. Nobody else really cares.
Right.
So I don't know. Love you, Rob. I hope you don't hate me forever.
So I don't think we've ever asked you this, but like what, like, how'd you get into comics? Like, what got you to the point where you were doing, I guess, your first book, which was Covenant, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So how'd you get from, like, nerdy high school kid to, yeah. or maybe jock high school kid? I don't know.
No, nerdy. No, you're on the right track.
Gotta watch wrestling. It's all good. You know,
I grew up with three brothers, and on my mom's side of the family, which is all around where I live, there's 14 cousins and we're all boys. My entire generation is boys. Yeah. Wow. Sorry for the aunts, but so while I wasn't a jock, we played sports all the time. It was more like pickup or, you know, survival of the fittest type stuff. But yes, in high school, I mean, basically probably a little younger than high school. As soon as I knew drawing comics was a thing people did for a living, it's kind of what I wanted to do. Mm-hmm. And so I would be taking my stuff to conventions and showing it to people and mailing in samples, because this is back in the late 80s, early 90s, when I was in high school. And, just doing that grind, trying to do my own thing. Doing sample scripts. And so I was doing that for a long time, and I got into music and stuff, and I maybe wasn't like really trying to pursue comics that hard necessarily. And then I kind of did at some point realize, okay, I have no other marketable skills. I don't want to deliver Chinese food for the rest of my life. So time to like push this hard and see if I can actually do it. Mm-hmm. And I was doing that, and I just felt like I wasn't getting anywhere. So I talked to, I became friends with P. Craig Russell, who lives here in Kent, Ohio, near Akron. Mm-hmm. And became friends with him and was showing him some of my work and talking to him, asking for advice and saying, you know, I'm tired of doing these sample scripts. I'm trying to do my own projects, but it's so hard to write, to do a thing, a comic from all of it. And like have work that you can show that someone could decide to hire you from. So I was just, you know, kind of complaining about that. So he said, why don't you adapt something? So I adapted. I watched an episode of Thundar the Barbarian and I transcribed it and then made, turned it into a comic, did a comic adaptation of an episode of Thundar the Barbarian. And so I would do it like 6-8 pages at a time and make little mini comics of it and then go to conventions and hand it to everyone, writers, artists, editors, publishers, everybody. Just make them super cheap, you know, little mini comics. And so, you know, and I kept working on the same episode. So every time I went to a new convention or every year, I'd have 6 more pages of it. So it shows I can do the work, shows I'm improving. And also I hand it to somebody and they go, oh, Thundar, I remember this. And they actually look at it for a second instead of going, thanks, and throwing it in their portfolio and never see it again. And so I think that's what kind of got that. Rob definitely saw that. And I got in contact with him through that. And it also led to, you know, getting to know other editors and stuff and kind of getting on Marvel's radar and, you know, doing the Covenant proved that I could do the job like on a real scale. And then I did the Octoskull comic for Earthquaker Devices, where I took the names of the guitar pedal. I worked for Earthquaker Devices, which is a guitar pedal company, and took the names of the pedals and made a story with the names of the pedals as characters and places in that story. And I made that comic. And I remember that was a thing that Ricky Purden from Marvel really responded to. And that's kind of what led to me getting offered Punisher when Steve Dillon got sick. At least that's what they thought at first. And so, but then it turned out he died. They said, hold on a minute, and then decided to go forward. And I did that. So that's kind of the long-winded version.
No, that's cool. I actually didn't know. I didn't realize that was that you picked up after Steve passed away. Mm-hmm. Like, I didn't realize that was the same thing.
Yeah, I finished the issue he was working on when he died. Wow. And I actually was in New York for New York Comic Con that year because he died in New York. Mm-hmm. And I remember seeing he had a table there and I was like, oh, Steve Dillon, I should go over and say hi and go look at his stuff. And I didn't.
Oh. And
never, you know, that was that. Which is a shame. And I mean, it's, you know, it's obviously horrible, but I made some good friends at Marvel who, like, Steve meant a lot to people there. And the fact that I came on and handled such a hard thing and was like, you know, hopefully gracious and good about it and weathered the storm in a tough situation, you know, they really appreciate it and kind of, you know, Jen Grunewald she works at Marvel. Hi, Jen. I don't know that she would be listening to this, but whatever.
You never know.
Never know. Love you, Marilyn.
When we get syndicated, this will be in airwaves. So.
But she, one of the first times I met her, she said, Steve was my friend and I hate you. But we had already been like hanging out and laughing and having a good time all night. And, you know, if you know Jen, that's just kind of the way she is. And I mean, it was an endearing thing, kind of. I don't know. It's such a strange thing. It's such a strange thing to... whenever I sit and tell these stories, like the Rob stuff and the Steve Dillon stuff, it's just like, who'd have thunk this was my path, you know, to comics? So strange. You never know. But if you try and be a good person, you try and get the work, do the work, then, you know, it all settles itself, you know? You can't worry about the external part of it necessarily.
Yeah. No, that's an amazing story. I really like you. You kind of hit like, I guess you were just the right guy at the right time. And that's like, you know, that's the some of the most serendipitous shit I've ever heard in my life. It's and so I love wild. It.
There's more to it too, but I'm not, I don't know. It might be a little boring, but I will say this. The first convention I did after working on Punisher was C2E2. And it was, I want to say it was the very first panel of the entire convention was a How to Break into Comics, the Marvel Way panel or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was on it and I was kind of nervous. Like, are people going to come at me because of this Dillon thing or whatever, you know? And, you know, he's a lot of people's like definitive Punisher artist. So that was intimidating on its own, you know?
Yeah.
And so So I was on the panel with Ricky Purden, who's like the editor of Marvel, and some other creators, and Mike Perkins, artist Mike Perkins, who's an awesome guy. Hi, Mike. I love you, too. Say this into the ether. And so they, one of the first questions was like, how did you all break in? And I told my story, and then it goes down the line, and then it goes to Mike, and he goes like, well, Horak killed Dylan to get his job, so I was like, God.
Wow.
Yeah, he just dropped a hammer and took all of, like, I instantly felt better, like, oh, no one else, I can't possibly say something more offensive than that, and he just took it on the chin for me, so it really... Wow. I love him for that forever. Because I was thinking it the entire time I'm sitting there just waiting. Like someone, that's what everyone in this room is thinking. You know what I mean? So for him to say, like, was awesome.
No, that's awesome. Yeah, and that was, for those of you guys who haven't checked it out, that would be the Punisher run where it's War Machine Punisher, right?
Just before War Machine, the Becky Cloonan run.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah. That was super awesome.
They put him in the War Machine armor, and then I didn't get to draw that part. I just drew the guy in the t-shirt the whole time.
Oh, bummer.
It was funny because, you know, obviously I'd wanted to work on Marvel stuff for a long time. And then I get on the Punisher, and pretty much the only thing from the Marvel, obviously it's all in the Marvel universe, but the really only Marvel universe thing was the Punisher, just him. You know, there weren't any other supervillains in it. Really, no. There wasn't even like AIM or Hydra or anything like that. It was just him, and that was just kind of the gist of Becky's run. Is he was is Frank as a slasher killer like Mike Myers or something like that. So it was stripping it way down, but it was fun. That's awesome. And I love Becky. I just got Becky was in Columbus too, so I got to hang out with her, which was really fun. Yeah,
it's awesome. Did you confirm whether or not she lives on the East or West Coast?
She is currently now on the West Coast. They are in Portland now.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, she lied to me. No, it's
fine. I mean, she was. They lived in. I guess they lived in the South. They lived in Austin up until a couple weeks, a month or so ago, like really recently they moved. So,
yeah.
So maybe she wasn't lying.
Well, when I talked to her like 2 years ago, I think she said they were going to move to like Rhode Island or like it was like somewhere far northeast.
Yeah. So. That's where she's from originally, actually. Okay. Is New England. So I think there's whenever it's time to move, that's always one of the short list. So, because I think this time they even toyed with the idea of moving up there.
Okay.
I keep saying they, Becky and her partner, Michael Conrad, who they co-write a bunch of stuff together too. Batgirls and I can't remember what else. Wonder Woman, maybe. I think they did Wonder Woman together.
Yeah.
And Michael's run a bunch of stuff on his own too, which was really good.
It's awesome.
Yeah.
Oh, all right. Well, I don't want to run too long tonight. So
I know I'll talk about comics for a long time. If you give me a chance.
I thought it was funny that you brought up Craig because I thought it was funny. I went to his Facebook page one time and there was a picture of him in a comic shop and you are digging in the comics in the back. And I'm like, that's Horak.
Oh, it's so dumb, but that means the world to me that I am in the background of Craig's wonderful, because it's a shop in Dayton. It's a little like bookshop, used bookshop, down in the I think it's called the Oregon District, speaking of Oregon again, in Dayton. It's a little area of bars and restaurants and like and stuff like that. And the ceiling, you know, in that photo, the ceiling has all these stuffed animals and action figures and stuff hanging from the ceiling. Craig's looking up at him and I'm back there with my bald head flipping through some box or something. Yeah, it's super cool. Every time I see, every once in a while, I'll come across that photo and be like, oh man, I'm in Craig's profile photo. That's cool.
That's awesome.
I'll tell another story here. What's even cooler is I was at Craig's house. There was a little convention in Kent, Ohio, and Craig had a little dinner for all the guests, all the people that were in town for the show the night before at his house. And in his house, his downstairs dining room is his studio. That's where his drawing table is. And he has bookshelves lining the walls with all his books and stuff. And sitting on top of his bookshelf was a little drawing of Snowy from Tintin, Tintin's dog, that I had done that he bought from me. And it's sitting on the shelf next to his Eisner. And I was like, okay, I got to take a picture of this. That is just very too nice. Cool.
That is cool.
Yeah, yeah.
Hopefully good omens. Hopefully good
omens. Yeah, right. Hopefully not the closest I ever get to one.
Oh, man. Which book did he win the Eisner for that one? Was that?
I forget which one it is. He has a handful. He just won this year, too.
Oh, really?
And he went into the Hall of Fame. Yeah, I think he won and went in the Hall of Fame. I think he got two this year, technically. I may be wrong. I know he was nominated this year.
Yeah.
He was nominated for Norm Smith.
He might be running out of room on his bookshelf.
I know. He's such a good guy and such a normal, easy to talk to guy too for someone that, you know. Yeah. I don't know. Yeah, this is veering close to me starting to talk about the old timers who aren't such good guys. So we'll just drop it there.
Yeah, we'll leave it there because we definitely have met some of those guys, but I've never had a bad experience with Craig. I always thought he was a great guy.
Yeah, yeah.
All right. So where can some of the guys that are listening or watching find you on social media in case they want to reach out or follow your stuff or check out stuff or get a commission or anything like that?
Yeah. Horak Matt on Instagram is probably the best place. I think I'm Matt Horak on Twitter. I don't really do anything on Twitter. I'm just kind of sitting on the name so no one steals it. And you can probably find my Facebook pretty easily too. I don't know off the top of my head what that is technically, but if you Google me, I show up, which is cool. So
that is true.
But Horak Matt on Instagram is probably the thing I post most to. So,
and you probably,
I will see the messages. If anyone does want to message me about commissions and stuff, they may not always be open, but you're welcome to give me a shout.
Awesome. And don't forget, you will see him this June, first weekend of June at Three Rivers Comic Con. Because we're going back downtown and it's going to be a hella good time. And we're excited to have you. So
thanks. That convention center is really nice, but I mean, I can't help but be nostalgic for an empty Macy's.
Please don't ever tell our boss that.
Don't
do it.
Oh, no.
Oh, God.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Because
that was one
he'll be like, let's go back. I'll be like, no.
No. Logistically, the convention center is infinitely better. But,
yeah.
You know, there's just something about hanging out. I sweat so much
at that Macy's.
What's that?
I said, I sweat so much at that Macy's.
Oh.
Yeah. I mean, it is an abandoned Macy's, so it can only be so nice. There's something fun about being in that room, though. It's just silly.
Yeah, I mean, I think the people that we bring in make the atmosphere good, and that's what we like, and that's what we like to see, and we hope to continue and keep it rolling. And we're real excited. We have some new marketing tricks we're gonna try this year, so we're gonna see how it goes. But
I was gonna say, that's news to me, John.
No, you're just not thinking of some of this stuff as new marketing tricks, but
I gave the idea of like stripper night at the comic store, and
yes already when you asked me, Justin. I will.
No one listens to John. No one listens to John. Anyway, all right, listeners, thank you for a great year. We will see you in the new year. We are...
No touching. I don't do touching.
Make sure you stop by the waterfront and give Tim all the hugs, all of them, or at least some high fives. I know he likes high fives.
Yeah.
So, yes.
Yeah. But thanks, guys, for watching. We'll see you in January. Have a safe and happy holiday. Don't do anything stupid. And if you're going to do something stupid, come to one of our stores and blow a shit ton of money on books. That's something stupid that's worth it. So
yes, buy me my books.
Yeah, or buy us something cool. Yeah.
Yeah.
You don't have to, but it'd be nice. I mean,
or just walk in the door and throw a fistful of money. Walk away. Yeah. That's really stupid.
There you go. Yeah, like that. Yeah. I mean, there's like a Star Wars one at the Mills I wouldn't mind owning. That's like $250 or $300 or something. So, yeah. I mean, I'm just saying.
Yeah.
So, all right. We will all see you guys in the new year. Matt, stick around because we'll talk for a minute after this. You guys want to say anything before?
I just want to say what a pleasure it was talking with Matt. And this was one of my favorite shows. Doing the recap and talking with him. So can't wait for next year and everything that happens. This is the 200th episode and I thought it was pretty damn good.
Agreed. 4 out of 5 stars.
Yeah.
Yeah.
4 1/3.
If Matt's camera worked,
I know.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, everyone.
Like I said, we keep that standard of the most mediocre comic book podcast ever. So something has to go wrong. So
right. We're mediocre. That's all that matters.
As the new guy in general here in the crew, it's fun. Again, happy holidays to everybody out there. Don't care what you celebrate, just be safe, be careful, and you know, if someone needs help, please help them. This is that time of year. We've lost so many people to suicide, and this is definitely that time of year where that comes up. So everybody, just, you know, if someone needs to hang out, you know, take them to a comic book store and bullshit about comics. Maybe that'll make their day.
Yeah.
So
try
not to let anybody be by themselves on Christmas. That's the goal.
No.
So, all right. Thanks, guys. We'll see you in the new year.
Peace.